This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. This is my life. It's my sustenance. It's my everything, because it is everything that you have deposited from your Son and from the Holy Spirit and yourself in here for us to reflect and meditate upon and ingest and imbibe, so that we can become the people of God that you created us to be. You've taken care of the sin problem. And now, Lord, you want to empower us. So I pray that the words that I speak would not be my own, but it would be the Holy Spirit within me to convey the attributes of the Godhead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are studying, if I could get a light on back there, Eric, somewhere. We are studying the Trinity, of all subjects, right? The very most difficult subject that has probably been preached throughout all the thousands of years here, a couple thousand anyway. It is a topic that is very relevant to our faith because it is the basis of what we believe. The Trinity, or the triunity of God, is part of and is our heritage. And so we need to know exactly what that consists of. And so the last 2 weeks we've given an introduction and a beginning into what the Trinity is, who the Trinity is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to talk about the acts of the Father. We're going to study the Trinity as a whole, and then we're going to break it down and look at what the Father does, what the Son does, what the Holy Spirit does, and how they all do that together as one. And so we're doing building blocks. This is building as we go. So again, we've given you introduction as to the entirety of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we're going to break some things down, and I'm going to talk about the acts of the Father. And guess what? They start in Genesis 1:1. Let's put it up. Talking about the Father today. Daddy's home today, okay? So let's put our focus on Him. Be thinking about the Father. The Father, the Father, the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? In the beginning, Elohim created. Okay? We're going back to the original. We translate it God. The word that was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was Elohim, created the heavens and earth. The word for God, Elohim, is written in plural form. That was not a mistake by the writers, because they didn't make the same mistake twice or three times as it is repeated in Scripture. It was meant to be plural. It gives us our first glimpse of the triunity of the Godhead. By making it plural, we realize, wait a minute, God is one, but yet He's using a plural form of who He is and saying that the world was created. Elohim actually means creator, sovereign, full of power, or supreme deity, for the theologians that are out there. The supreme deity. In other words, God, through divine intervention, you know what that means, He gets involved in our business. He created the world. He didn't leave it alone. He didn't say, here it is, spin on your axis, and there you go, have your way. God, Elohim, creator, sovereign, full of power, full of glory, created this and now intervenes into what He has created to be a part of it. And we're going to be talking about how He chose in the Godhead and divided the responsibilities within the one of how this planet and how we as His creation would operate and become part of an eternal plan. So you need to see that. Elohim, the Godhead, made the heavens and the earth, and He intervenes through divine intervention, taking care of this world that He created. Again, we know it is God the Father who acts to oversee the plan of redemption. What do I mean by that? God the Father oversees the plan to bring us back into fellowship with Himself because we blew it in the beginning. Didn't say that in 1:1, but a little bit later it says we blew it, because He gave us some simple instructions to obey Him and said the result if we did not would be death, separation from Him. And that's what we did. So by him purchasing us back from that death sentence and becoming part of Satan's family, that part is called redemption, the big word redemption. And that redemption, this plan to bring us back into fellowship with him, because he knew before we even got started that that would happen, he had a plan in place. And he is sovereign over that plan. And God the Father, once again, acts to oversee this plan. Why? How do I know this? It's because he sent, as we discussed last week, Jesus, his son, to carry it out. He oversaw the plan, then he said, okay, my son, Jesus, who was there from the beginning with him, you, and Jesus volunteered and said, I'm willing to do this, because he could have said no. Because he is fully God as well as God is fully God the Father, right? So Jesus could have said, you know what, that's a bad plan. I don't like the part I have. You're overseeing it, but I'm the one who's got to go down there and die on a cross and go through suffering and become a human being, and you know, right? But he didn't. But we know that God the Father sent his son Jesus to carry out the plan of redemption. Therefore, the Father oversees. One of his acts is to oversee this plan of redemption. John 3:16-17. Everybody should know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish. That was our sentence. But we would have what? Eternal life. For God did not send the Son. See, he's the overseer, the Father. You know, what does Jesus say? Our Father who art in heaven. When you say, teach us how to pray, Jesus, he didn't say, well, pray to me. He says, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? The Father oversees. The Father came up with a plan. He sent his Son. Jesus willingly does it. Equal with the Father, with equal power and sovereignty and all of it and stuff like that. He obeyed willingly. Did not send the Son into the world to do what? To judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This was the plan, not to forsake us, not because of our sin, to put us in hell with what? A third of the angels and Satan? That's their plan. There's no redemption for Satan. He's already been judged. God could have judged us when we sinned in rebellion just as well. But because we were made in his image, and basically all I can tell you is because of he's love. And because God is love and he made us in our image, he gave us a plan of redemption. To not take on that sentence that Satan has taken on. So he snatched us back when we rebelled. We joined Satan's camp, if you will, of the rebellious. He put this plan into action, and then he says, part of the Godhead, first to Jesus, I want you to go down, because you are God, you are me. You carry every weight of my authority, every part of who I am. You are God, just like me. I want you to go down and exercise this, because there's no way that any of them could ever redeem themselves. So we see this picture beautifully of the sovereign God that we serve, Elohim, creator, sovereign, full of power. Part of the Godhead, the Father, ranked first, overseeing things, sending his son Jesus to redeem us from sin, death, hell, and the grave. We know it is God the Father who acts to oversee creation. How do I know this? Because when he speaks, the Holy Spirit responds in power. We're seeing the Godhead, three yet one. God the Father speaks, and then now God the Holy Spirit awaiting, let there be light, and then there was light. It was the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters when there was nothing but a void. And God spoke, and the Holy Spirit acted. Do you see the Godhead at work here? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God overseeing things. The Holy Spirit creating things. Jesus redeeming things. And the only reason any of the three can do all those is because they're God and they all have equal power to do such things. But there are different responsibilities with different attributes, and that's what we love about God. He's one, yet we see him manifest in the Father. We see him manifest in Jesus. We see him manifest in the Holy Spirit. And if you're trying to picture it, forget it. You'll never do it because you're a created being. You weren't there in the beginning with God, but you were in his thoughts. God the Father oversees the plan of redemption. God the Father oversees creation. Genesis 1:2-3. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And yes, there was light. We know it is God the Father who acts to oversee all things. It's not just creation or redemption, but it says in Scripture, all things. Why? Because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So we know that God oversees all things because Jesus said, look, there's nothing that's going to be done. There's nothing that I'm going to even do unless I see Daddy doing it. A model for us. A model for us. Because if we're seeing Jesus, we're seeing Daddy. And if we're seeing Daddy, we're seeing Jesus. You're going to say, well, how do I know what the Father is doing? Look at Jesus. Because there's still one. He's still God. He represents the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. You've seen the power of the Father, you've seen the power of the Son. You've seen the sovereignty of the Father. And if you want to know from there, is he in you? Yes, you can do the same things as Jesus did. He said, because even the things that I do, greater things you'll do. Because now the Holy Spirit lives in you, who is full of God, full of the power, full of the authority. Because they're all equal. They're all one. And he's in you, and he's in the world, and he's everywhere. Omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Isn't that awesome? This is the triunity of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the Godhead, Elohim. And let us make man in our image. Let them reflect us. Let them walk in obedience. Oh, they blew it, but that's okay. I love them so much. We're going to have a backup plan. And Jesus, I want you to go down and redeem them. And Holy Spirit, I want you to go down and live in them so that they can't even follow that plan. It's awesome. God the Father is the one that oversees and came up with all this. Wow. Things are falling apart here. Satan must not like that. So it is God the Father who is doing and overseeing all things. Jesus says it in John 5:19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, not just truly, but truly, truly. That's an emphasis. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. He's a perfect reflection of Daddy. So the Father oversees redemption. He oversees creation. The Father does what he wants to do, and the Son follows in like order as well as the Holy Spirit. And the Father alone now. It is the Father alone who will decide when the opportunity to be saved or redeemed will have run its full course. The Father is going to decide when we have had the last opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Mark 13, verses 31 to 33. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. Everybody know that? But my words will never pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven. Oh, wait a minute. Nor the Son. Wow, capital S Son. But the Father alone. The Father oversees redemption, creation, all things, and he also knows when the end will come. This belongs to our Daddy. Folks, the Father knew redemption would be needed before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. The purpose for all things has always been in the mind of the Father. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world. This is the part you need to read. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world, where? In the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. What does that tell you? That Satan is going to receive those who have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. So from the foundation of the world, there was a plan. And it was originated with the Father, and it was carried out by the Son. And he's given charge of Jesus to govern the whole thing. And it's his book for him to do with, because he's the only way. God took water which everybody knows is the essence of life, and dirt, which he'd already created with all the minerals in it and all the things. If you go to a doctor and you get all the minerals and stuff that you check in your body, you're going to be full of dirt. It's going to be in an organized way, but you're going to be full of dirt. So he took this essence of life of water and these minerals in the dirt, and he made man in his own image with the freedom of choice. He did it knowing man, listen now, he did it knowing that man could obey or disobey. Just as Jesus, you know, people think, well, Jesus didn't have a choice. Of course he had a choice. If he didn't have a choice, Jesus made the choice to willingly come down here and die. He, when he prayed in the garden, Father, if at all possible, take this away from me. You know, he'd probably think, hey, look. But Jesus was, it says in the Bible, what? Obedient unto death. It wouldn't have been put in there if it wasn't the fact that there was a possibility that he could say, Father, let's step back from this one. Let's start over. Let's recreate something else. He's God. He did it, giving freedom of choice, knowing man could obey or disobey, having a plan in place for either decision that we would choose. God would have a plan, and no matter what we would choose. And I would say this to you today. Oh, Pastor, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my divine direction. I mean, I think, should I go down this road and go in this direction here, or should I take this path? Because this one's good too, and whatever. I mean, I don't know. God, give me, I'm confused. I'll never go down either path if you don't give me a direction. Let me tell you something. If you're walking in obedience to the Father, and he's blessing you, and you're a blessing unto him and stuff like that, if you decide to walk down this path, he'll bless it. If you decide you're going to walk down this path, he'll bless it. As long as it leads to Jesus, and it leads to heaven, and it leads in the middle of his will, you're going to be okay. But if you think that, oh, it's got to be, I just have to do this, and if I don't do that, I'm going to miss it. No, I believe God blesses you when you're obedient unto him and you worship him in spirit and truth. He gives you freedom of choice. Hello, what does that mean to you? You can choose. As long as you're serving him in that, it will always lead, because God works everything together for good to them that love him. It'll always lead to the same destination. But you have to remember one thing in all of this. That no matter what you choose, it has to be rooted in Christ Jesus, because there's only one path to the Father. And you may take it around this way, but it'll be Jesus walking with you down that path. If you go this way, it'll be Jesus walking with you down that path. Any other path you take will lead to hell. And so there is choice. God does give us choice. And that's wonderful. But he's ready with a plan. No matter what choice we make, even when we're in rebellion, hello, he had a place in, for us again, for what we would choose. So that what? Why? So that fellowship would not be lost. It meant that much to him. You mean that much to him. That fellowship would not be lost. He loves us that much. It is his nature, because the Bible tells us that God is love. That's who he is. It's his character. It's his DNA. It's what he is. It's always what he's been. It's always what he will be. He is love, God. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This love thing interconnects everything together. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That's who God is. He covers us just because he loves us so much. And I think you can relate just a little bit, because even when your own sons and daughters go off the deep end and they go wayward, and you have to watch them suffer and go through consequence for what they've made in choices, you know that deep down inside you're still brooding and crying and loving them. You never ever stop loving your children. You might hate what they do. You may see them have to go to jail for what they've done. But you never ever stop crying out to God for their redemption. Well, that's God with us. Every moment, every second of every day. 1 John 4:16, we did that. Folks, fellowship. Fellowship with man originated with God the Father. But it was broken through sin by the very man he created. And since Jesus is that part of the Godhead who willingly restores divine fellowship, this fellowship between the Father and us, another act of the Father is this, that he draws us to his son. Isn't that great? Even when we're going in this direction, the Father, as an act on his behalf, because Jesus is our only redemption and no other religions will suffice, because Jesus is the only way, the Father takes the responsibility, no matter where we are, to draw us. Now, he doesn't make us, but he draws us to the Son, the one who is able to redeem us. John 6:44. No one, and I mean no one, can come to me unless the Father. Look at this. As important as Jesus is, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, because Jesus is underneath that guise of the Father's overall plan. We've discussed that already, right? And he says, now here I am, I'm your redemption. But he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus has the power to do it because he's God. But God the Father's love for you is what draws you to the Son. Just get it in your spirit. Folks, God the Father has determined that Jesus is the only way to be restored to fellowship with himself. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There drops your Jehovah Witnesses, there drops your Mormons, the Hindus, the Muslims that believe in Allah and not God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triunity of God. There drops any other religion you can think of. There is no other way but one way to Yahweh, and that is through his Son, his way. Folks, this truth is what separates Christianity from all other religions that claim that you can come to God by some means other than God himself. God provided the way himself because it's the Godhead. Jesus was that part of it. He sent to redeem us. There is no way on your good works or how good you could ever be or what religion you ever study or how many people you talk to or whatever you can build with your hands or however long you think you can live. Nothing. And no other means other than God himself can bring you to himself. Even Judaism, hello, through the works of the law. Remember the Old Testament? Even the Jews, through Judaism, the works of the law, can never save you. Judaism cannot save you. Jesus Christ can. Only through Jesus Christ, God's Son, can we be saved by his grace. John 1, verse 17. For the law, capital L, Moses up on the mountain, given the Ten Commandments, was given through Moses. That's awesome. We know the character of God. We know his attributes. We know how wonderful he is and how obedient he is and how good he is, and there's no evil in him. And the law shows us that all of what God is good, and the law is good because it's who God is, right? But without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in us, it don't matter. Because we can't be that way. Sin corrupted us. It's the stain, it's the mark, it's the barrier which keeps us from being part of that redemption of being with the Father. And as good as the law was, as good as it is, and as who God is, it's to simply what? Show us exactly what Jesus is making us out to be. The law provides us a framework of morality. It provides us a framework of who God is so that when we look at it and we see Jesus and we go, oh my gosh, there's no way I could keep every single little last tittle bit of that law no matter what and stuff like that. God says, don't. You can't. You're right. But I'm going to send you one who can help you to live that way. And there's the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit who lives in you that gives you the capability of walking under that law. Hello? It's not like the law's bad and we should throw it away and it's not useful anymore and stuff like that. No, the one who's able to keep that law now lives in you. And because of Jesus, the second part of that Godhead, if you happen to stumble in it, if you fall and repent, you're forgiven because of the love of God, the Father, who had the plan of redemption from the very beginning that gives you that right to become children of God. And nothing can snatch you out of his hands. No devil in hell can. But we go back to the beginning where you're given a choice. You choose today whom your Savior will be. The works of the law? Your own efforts? Some other religion? Or giving your life as a ransom to Jesus? Coming to the end of yourself and saying, Lord, here I am, use me, send me, mold me, shape me, do whatever you do. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. You bought me with your blood. I'm no longer my own. My agenda doesn't matter anymore. As much as I might want to do this, if you're telling me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. That's the kind of lordship he wants. Not the fact that, hey, Lord, I love you. I thank you for my ticket to heaven, but I'm going to go do my own thing anyway. It doesn't work that way. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because they want their cake and eat it too. God is not going to share you with any devils. He's not going to share you with yourself. He wants all of you, 100% of you. And all you have to do is say, I do. And after you say, I do, just yield. That's a biggie. Just yield. Don't say, I do, and then go do whatever you want to do. Say, I do to him. That's who you're saying I do to. When you're standing at the marriage, you're saying I do to each other. So now you have to be other-oriented. If the marriage is going to work, you got to be I doing that one, and that one's got to be I doing you. I think something like that. But it's a covenant.
Yes.
It is a communion that's made between man and woman, made in the likeness between Jesus and his church. So therefore, we have to be in covenant with him. Again, saved by his grace only through God's Son, Jesus. Did we read John 1:17? It's the last scripture. Well, no, almost the last. No, it's okay. So what we say now is thank you, Father, for sending us salvation through your Son. See, before Jesus came, nobody could call God their Father. This is we're winding this thing up, and this is what's the good part, okay? It's already been good. You know, we know that we have the salvation, and we know that the Godhead is on our behalf, and they each have responsibilities of doing what they do. But here's really, really the good part. Before Jesus, nobody could call God their Father in an intimate way, in an intimate relationship. But this level of intimacy was in the Father's heart from the very beginning, because I know you've read it. It's what he wanted with Adam, to walk in the cool of the garden with Adam, to share back and forth, to talk, to find out how Adam was doing, cultivating the ground and lording over creation, dominion, if you will. The Father wanted to be Lord of Adam, to be his master, ruler, owner, creator, sovereign, full of power, that he was not to act on his own, but he was to do, as Jesus said, only what the Father tells me to do. Cultivate the ground, cultivate the ground. Walk with me in the garden, walk with me in the garden. Let's go over here, do this, do that. Adam was a reflection. He was the first what? Jesus was the second Adam. Adam means man. Adam was the first man to be underneath the lordship of God the Father. Jesus came as the second Adam to show us how that's done. And how it was done was through complete 100% obedience. I only see and do what the Father tells me to do. I only walk the way the Father tells me to walk. I only talk the way that the Father tells me to talk. I'm only going to carry out the plan, the Father's plan that he gave me to do. And that's what we should be doing. This level of intimacy was in the Father's heart from the very beginning. It's with Jesus. It was with Adam, the first Adam, the second Adam. But in between the first and second Adam, there was a thing called the law. And there was this distance between you and I, the lay people, and God. We were spoken to by the prophets in the Old Testament. Those that were endowed with the Holy Spirit from God with a specific message to tell us to get our act together. And yet Israel failed and failed and failed and came back and failed and came back and failed. Only because of another plan that God had to include all men, the Gentiles, you and me, into this plan of salvation. Those who are willing, those who choose this day whom they are going to serve, as Joshua said. Intimacy was going to be restored. Intimacy was restored when Jesus set foot down here and he went onto that cross and he resurrected and sits at the right of the Father. And when he looks at you now, Jesus says, what's sin? Look through me. They're in me. I'm in Jesus. Therefore, the Father looks in Jesus for me. I see Scott right through Jesus. No sin. What's sin? This is relationship. See, back in the Old Testament, they didn't, that Jesus' blood, it wasn't right there then. So now it was only through what they were doing obediently that was bringing favor in their eyes before God. And most of the time there was no obedience, so there was no favor. So what happened? Separation. What happened with separation? The Amorites, the Hittites, the Bigites, the Nickites, the Tickites, whatever all the ites you want to talk about, would come and take them captive. And they would cry out to God when they were in this place of horror, if you will. And it's been happening through history when we rebel against God. But he's right there willing to say, I have an intimate relationship available through you. All you have to do is come to me. And Jesus has made it easier because we've seen the face of God. We've seen God in the flesh. That's Emmanuel, God with us. So now we know and have a better outlook of who and how and God functions and operates. Paul said the mystery that it was hidden in the Old Testament has now been revealed. There's now salvation in the Son, and the church is now a reflection of Jew and Gentile alike of his glory. We were made to glorify him. So here we go. The Father's heart from the very beginning was that, until sin separated us. And it did, from such a personal communion with him. But then Jesus Christ comes along establishing a new covenant from the Godhead and talks about having been sent from God, his Father. Hello, New Testament, the word Father. To restore what? Man's intimacy with Daddy. What do you mean, Daddy? There's a word in Greek called Abba, and it means Daddy. And Jesus used it. Why? Because he was in relationship with the Father. Did the Old Testament religious people use it? Oh, no, we can't speak that name. And Jesus comes and says, oh, yes, you can. Daddy. Oh, it must have ticked them off. What right does this son, if they didn't believe that, have to call his Father Daddy? Because Jesus is the one who brings intimacy to us, to bring it back to us and the Father. You can pray and you can know that he hears us, and whatever you ask for in prayer, in his will, he will grant you. This is what Jesus was expressing to us. Daddy. The religious said, you can't say that. It's too personal. It can't be that way. Oh, yes, it can. And the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, confirmed this truth through the written word, Romans 8, 15 and 16. Last scripture. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. We're not in the Old Testament anymore, folks. You have received a spirit of adoption. We've been brought in. Gentiles have been brought in as sons, by which now we're able to cry out, Abba, Father. I hope you can see that. Folks, Daddy has always desired to fellowship with you. Would you make a habit of boldly coming to the Father in an intimate and regular prayer? Next week, we're going to talk about the acts of the Son, Jesus. But for today, let's just engage in fellowship with Daddy, Abba, through song.